Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. Yeah. All right. I hear that Sarah has full hearing in both ears now. So we're looking up this week.
It's kind of a big deal. And I didn't get pink eye for my son last week. So winning all around.
Wow. Amazing.
Good ears, good eyes. Maybe you can smell again.
Oh, yeah. You were losing all your senses. I forgot about that.
Wait, what happened to my sense of smell? Nothing.
Oh,
you weren't congested? Not congested.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. I was getting all paranoid. I'm like, I haven't seen any of you recently. For you to be like, you smell really bad. Can't you smell yourself?
We're thankful that it's not like scratch and sniff on the right. YouTube. I'm sure it's not long before that happens.
Who have you been talking to?
So we have Sarah back. Sid is with us this week. Khadija is still out. Ramadan ends next week and then she will be back. So you're stuck with us now. And I wanted to start with, and I wanted to ask you guys if you've been watching basketball. And I enjoy the fact that the one Brit is the one who's gotten really into college women's basketball.
I've got CU buffs. I've got the jumper, the t-shirt. I've got everything. I'm fully in. Okay, they got knocked out by Iowa, but I think that, I mean, they were never going to beat Caitlin Clark, really. And she is so good for the sport. And the longer she stays in, or the longer Iowa stay in, I think the better. I do think that Iowa, you see this, I'm just going off now.
You're just going off. I think they're really weak and the paint is the problem.
Yeah, I do think Iowa LSU game should have been a semifinal because they are both.
Oh, it was crazy. Teams. I yeah. also was like, oh my God, this is on ESPN on like a Monday night and it's still got like 12 million viewers. Yeah. Like, what if you put it on actual ABC?
It was amazing. Both of those games on that Monday night. And I mean, and the ones on Sunday, but yeah, I'm hooked. I'm in. I still think it's ridiculous that these are college athletes. And I did have like a couple of conversations this week saying like, are we really setting these athletes up for like,
it's a weird time in college sports to be like, totally fair.
I mean, obviously some of those women have declared for the WNBA draft. Uh-huh. So they are going to go forward and try and do it professionally, but a lot of them probably won't, I'm guessing. But are we really setting them up for success with like flying them around on jets and stuff?
Maybe. You guys, so part of one of my things that I'm very torn about is as women's sports get bigger and bigger and bigger, one of our markers of success is always like, we're using the same markers of success of men's sports, but we don't have to, right? Like, we don't have to do things the exact same way. We don't have to do the same models. We don't have to make the same mistakes. And this isn't to necessarily say these are mistakes, but I'm just saying the NCAA has not been like a bastion of equality or healthy development or like right choices. So like, we don't necessarily have to. I mean, that's one of the things I just get very split and torn on. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
No. All right, that was our like deep top of the show.
It is ridiculous that again, Caitlin Clark's like being offered what is it, $5 million to play 3-on-3, which is more than she's ever going to earn in her lifetime as WNBA kind of player.
Well, you don't know. They're like two new bargaining deals away from like bigger contracts, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, on current standings, but yeah, she's changing the sport. Yeah.
We won't talk about any more ball sports.
So
sorry, guys. we will actually talk about triathlon endurance sports. We're going to talk about the crazy indoor try, Oceanside coming up, all this drama with Startless after our ad break.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code RIDING, as in if we were riding, at aminoco.com/riding. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's Aminoco, aminoco.com/riding, and use the code RIDING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, so who actually watched the crazy indoor triathlon? Jocelyn?
I did.
I watched it afterwards. I watched it earlier today at lunch because it was on the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes. Nice.
So not live, but it was very short and easy to consume.
I think that's part of the appeal.
Yeah, I hadn't realized though beforehand that it wasn't like, I assumed it was the Zwift treadmill and bike.
Oh, like trainer bike. Super lean, super dry.
Yeah, because it was a similar sort of concept. I didn't realize they were actually on their bikes and running around a track and riding around a track, which to me was boring as batshit, going around in circles.
I didn't relate more. It's a 200 meter track until you said something.
Indoor. Yeah.
Since it's an indoor track, like indoor.
Like the only way that race breaks up, I think it was in one of the women's semifinals that one of the girls broke away on the bike and they let her go. But in otherwise, you're going around a 200 meter track, the drafting effect is so big. Like, there's no one's gonna get away.
I was thinking that, like, people are basically watching, like, NASCAR style, like, hoping for crashes.
Yeah. Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like,
it would have been better if it had been on a velodrome. And so they had to ride,
with
like,
the super high banked. Because the indoor tracks have, like, a little bit of banking, but it's, like, fairly negligible. But, like, the really high banked ones, that would have been awesome.
And they'd have had to do the bike, like, on the top.
Yeah, shooting from the top.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is our brilliant idea for this week. What was our brilliant idea last week? Was mixed team relay at Ironman. Our brilliant idea this week is triathlons on a paint.
On a velodrome. Someone on fixies.
Also, if it's on a velodrome, like it's wooden planks, so it would have, after a swim, it would have been a shit show because everyone had been, apparently they did that once and they had to have a 60 second dry off period.
Oh really?
Bike, someone was telling me, because otherwise it just becomes like ice rink.
I couldn't tell if they were able to get their feet in their bike shoes, if they did at all,
or if they just rode the whole thing on top.
Some of them did. Some of them didn't. Some wore trainers. Yeah.
Okay. Sarah, did you ever do any of these super short? I mean, they didn't have indoor triathlon.
Really. No. No indoor triathlon. I feel like I did not miss out on a ton. Like, yes, Super League or Super Tri, whatever it's called now. Yeah. Like, I think that format, I 100% would have been down for. But I don't know. The indoor super short racing, meh. I can do without it.
The weird thing, though, was that it was, like, officially a World
Cup.
Fun
to watch, though.
Fun to watch. And it had World Cup points, too. So it was, like, it counts as, like, a regular World Cup, even though it's, like, kind of weird.
It seems like such a small track to ride your bike around.
Yeah. I'm, like, thinking about that now. Like, how...
They could do a better job.
They could do a better job.
Yeah, I haven't ever been in an indoor track, but I ran track in high school.
You've never been on an indoor track?
No, because, you know, in California, we don't have indoor track.
Everything's outside.
Right, yeah. But, like, you live in Delaware now, right?
And there's no indoor track here. There used to be one at the university. So they do have an indoor track season, but the big thing with the locals is they're trying to lobby to get an indoor track again. So state champs for indoors are like in Maryland or something.
But like, this is the thing, like in Chicago, like I've run on them because like Chicago, even Truckee, like a lot of the gyms have indoor tracks that like circle the top of like the basketball.
Oh, yeah. That's different.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's different. Yeah. That's
they're
different.
Like, some of them are decent, but they're all like 200 or something.
When I did track, I raced indoors. It is different. I guess it's a bit like altitude. You get that burning in your throat because it's so dry inside. So it's hard. And I guess for the 10 minutes they were racing with the three rounds or whatever it was. Actually Vicky Holland got disqualified, didn't she? I didn't see why though. There was some controversy, and that's her kind of Olympic. She's obviously trying to get.
I heard it briefly, but I don't remember why because it's already escaped my head.
I feel like there's probably a lot of rules, right? There's probably like a lot of rules that govern.
Yeah.
The indoorness.
Interestingly, they didn't look like they were going that fast, and I'm like, this is an optical illusion because I'm sure they're all going super fast, but it didn't look like they were going all out. Or it might have been that I was expecting to see them like sprint like Olympic sprinters,
during the run.
Yeah. And they probably were going like super hard and super fast, but it just didn't appear that they were going that hard.
They just made it look so easy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think Gwen and Georgia Taylor Brown looked like they were going quite fast on that final when they both came off the bike in like last place and then made up 10 seconds over 1K. But yeah.
I'm not like sold, but I'm also not against it. I mean, I understand the appeal of having like a stadium race because it's easier from a business spectator. Drunken fan perspective.
And I think is it easier to watch that kind of indoor triathlon than a Zwift when you've got avatars and you're just watching people on a treadmill and a stationary bike and you haven't got any concept of...
You don't know who's winning.
Yeah.
Knowing who's winning is key to sports.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Like, this is my professional opinion.
Well, and let's be honest, the element of uncertainty about somebody potentially crashing and things like that, you know... You don't get that on Zwift.
That would be fun. If somebody like... If the avatar
takes out the entire pack.
If the avatar, did crash my bike one time riding Zwift. Not like... Like, I was trying to work and respond to the...
crashed in real life.
In real life. And I fell backwards off my bike while I was...
Because I always thought it was dumb that you could get a helmet. And I'm like, I don't need a helmet. I'm riding inside.
No. I literally, in my living room, leaned backwards and just went off the back of my bike.
You needed a helmet.
Yeah. Reminds me of my mom. This is like what my mom was trying to explain, how it's impossible to swim with a pull buoy. Like, no one can do it. Your legs just flip over your head. And I'm like, what are you talking about? All right, other race upcoming this weekend. I mean, next weekend is the next T100. This weekend is the start of the Ironman Pro Series. I feel like I've been having to explain to people, like, yes, there are two triathlon World Series this year. It's slightly confusing. But so this weekend starts with Oceanside. I've done it. Sarah's done it. Jocelyn's done it. Have you ever done it, Sid? You've done
it? Yep.
We've all done it.
All right. And we have a 3-1 vote that we don't like that race.
What? I'm just intrigued. Why don't you like? I mean, I'm not for or against it kind of thing. I've had a decent race and a not so decent race there. But what's the hatred against it?
Okay, so for me, like, so I do it to, or I've done it a number of times because it's just like the race out here, right? Like, I can drive to it. Everyone here does it. It's very, very early. Like, sometimes
it's
it literally
too early
falls.
In
it's
the
too
year.
Early. Yeah, it's straight early. Up cold. Like, people don't realize that not coming here. It's like literally like 38 degrees sometimes in the morning before okay. you start. So that's just, it's just like not super pleasant. I enjoy the fact, or I think it's really funny that all the videos and the photos always like focus on these surfers and these palm trees. But like in reality, it's like not like that. I mean, like Oceanside's gotten a lot nicer. Like it's gotten a lot nicer, but it's a military-based town. Like it's not like classy.
But that's like, 70.3 Sydney was never in Sydney. It was an hour outside in Parramatta. And Barcelona is not in Barcelona. It's in a shit town called Calais, kind of thing.
I mean, it's in Oceanside, yeah. And Oceanside is a really nice little town. It's just like, I don't know. And you're running. I hate that run. You're just like running on like.
What? Why do the other? Why do you guys? The other two don't like it. What's the?
Oh, it's nothing to do with the race, and entirely to do with the fact that I've done it 3 times, and only once was I actually fit enough.
Right.
So it's just misery. I just have like a bad association with that race because only one of 3 times was I actually fit enough to like feel mm-hmm. decent racing. Yeah.
Yeah, I did it when I was in grad school, like when I was racing as like a very young age grouper, and they used to have Kona slots there. So it was like I was going to school in Atlanta, which has a colder winter, was not in shape at all, was way off getting the Kona slot, which was, of course, first place age group. And just, yeah, wasn't too happy having to fly out there, do terrible, and then go back to school.
I will say, I think it's a really, you, as somebody who's in California, right? And like, I go because it's like all the California people. I think it's a really tough one if you don't live out here, because like everyone who lives around San Diego is fit as fuck. Like, they didn't have to deal with winter, and they know how to swim in the ocean. If you're coming here, you don't know how to swim in the ocean, like you're screwed. If you aren't used to like, if you haven't been riding outside, if you come to California and you think it's just going to be like warm and sunny, like you're screwed. And so like, I just feel like a lot of people get shell-shocked for that early in the season.
Yeah, it's very competitive because you're right. All the people that are local are very fit because they had nice weather like all through the winter, and people coming from other places are just like, oh, not in shape yet.
I also think it's a stupid race as a pro because there have been times where it's a ridiculously strong field.
Yeah.
And the prize money does not reflect that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of race that should have like at least tripled the prize money based on the strength of fields, which just tells me we need more early season races with money. And like, obviously now with T100 and other races, we're going to see what ends up shaking out over the next few years. But like historically, it's been a stupid.
I was just looking at it's 50,000 total. So that's 25 for women.
That's brutal.
And it should, and especially when you look at the star list this year, what there's those 80 men, 40 women.
Yeah. It's also always like that. It's also always like 72 men. And you're like, great.
Racing for peanuts, really.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's because of the location. Like it's partially because like the majority of pros just statistically like are in the US. It's easy if they're not.
It's kind of like the unofficial start to the year over here. Yeah.
So
I do feel like Florida or someplace like that could easily put on a 70.3 that time of year and have it be really competitive.
Well, one year, because I hate Oceanside, I went down and did Galveston instead because it was the same weekend. And that was also not so fun. So, I remember being like, oh, we're running around a parking lot.
Well, like you have. I mean, it's not Ironman, but Clash Miami, if they did a pro feel, obviously it was a T100 this year, but that's like a March race. But that almost feels a bit too early for people. Mm-hmm. Like April feels like
April.
You need to get out racing as a pro because you've got races coming up, mm-hmm. but it's early to have such a stacked. Yeah.
It used to be like Galveston and New Orleans and like there used to be a couple right on that weekend.
It's exactly the same as, you know, if you're living in Northern Hemisphere, don't go and race in New Zealand in March. No. Like it just doesn't make sense. Why would you do that?
Don't do it.
Massive trip. It's not even a short trip to California.
Yeah.
It's a massive trip. It's a massive expense and you're going to go like shit.
Yeah. So it'll be great. It'll be super awesome. So I will say, I think everyone's excited for this weekend because it is the start of the Ironman Pro Series. And like,
if you can get into it.
Well, obviously, obviously it's closed. But like, I will just say before we like, before Sid explains all the drama to us, but that the Ironman Pro Series, I was like skeptical. I'm still like somewhat skeptical. I was like, who's going to sign up for this? But because
everybody.
Right, it turns out like everybody basically mm-hmm. because there's no like anyone can do it, right? It's not like, oh, you have to be invited.
There's suddenly
I'm just saying the PTO, you have to be invited, and there's like some politics to that, and there's some other shit, and like, and you have to crack in. And so what's nice about the Pro Series and why it's getting is because you don't have to, right? Like all you have to do is
I think is reflective, because if you look at the start list, no offense to 50% of people on the start list who I am now going to offend. I have never heard of them.
Sure.
Because they are up and coming pros or new pros. And they're like, hey, I've got a chance at the end of the year, if I'm in that top 50.
To get 5,000. Because 11th place and 50th place get the same amount.
Yeah.
At the end of the series. Yes. and honestly, like, good for them. I'm actually like for that. Yeah. Now, the problem is that the start lists are getting super full. So there is drama, and this is our section where I feel like we are explaining this to Sarah because she is not aware of this.
She needs this PSA.
I live in a cave, apparently, and I need this podcast to know anything about my sport.
Not unusual that you don't know. They haven't communicated it to the pros very well.
It's not your fault.
It's not transparent. Okay.
It's not transparent.
All right. So does Sid want to explain what's going on?
Oh, God, I can do. I feel you're better at this.
Or do you want me to explain it and then you can have
explain?
I can explain. So for a pro race, you have the start list closes 3 weeks before the race is due. However, in the small print, in the fine print, Ironman can technically close it whenever they want at their discretion. And what is happening, because so many people are signing up for these races with the new Ironman series, the races are getting full early. And so they are closing the start list earlier than that 3 week date. However, they are not telling the pros that this is now the case and that races are filling up, because it's never happened before. They've never had to do this. So look, it's a great thing for the series. I nearly said T100. It's a great thing for the Ironman Pro Series that so many people are wanting to enter. However, there's this issue that some of the true pros, that's the wrong word.
There are some big names that can't get in.
They want in this series to publicize it, to create the media, to create the hype, are missing out on races because they haven't signed up and the race is closed and we haven't been informed when it's been closing.
So there's a deadline that's listed, like, for people who don't know, I know everyone on this podcast knows, but there's a deadline that's listed as the registration deadline.
Yes.
What happened for Oceanside was it closed before that. But now that's happened for Texas, and they just closed, FYI, St. George 70.3 and Mallorca 70.3 before the listed deadline. So some pros, and some of them are big names that you have heard of, are going
that
you would want to promote, are, you know, reaching out to be like, hey, I want to sign up by the deadline. And they're being told, no, it's full, it's closed.
Like who? Name names.
It took me forever to find the name. FYI. I have names, but I don't know if I should tell them. But it took me forever because everyone kept saying, I've heard. It's really the best. I could only pin down like three people, to be clear. Like I only found because I think the rumor had spread more than actual number of people.
Possibly.
But one of them is like a world champion, to be totally fair.
So then the flip side of this is what's going to happen is you're going to get pros now enter every race because they're in panic mode, which means they're going to close the races early because they're going to get full. Right. But then
like
half those
tomorrow. They're all just then, like sold out tomorrow.
Yeah, but then half those people aren't going to race, and then you're going to get a load of people who you really want in the series for the publicity and the rivalries that aren't going to be in there.
So I will tell you,
they have implemented this color-coded system on the website, which tells you which races are close to capacity. But again, it still doesn't tell you when they're going to flip from orange to red or closed. And also, they haven't told us. Well, I'm going to refrain. Maybe they have in an email and I didn't read it. Quite
well, Sarah definitely didn't read it.
Sarah definitely didn't read it, so we're not guaranteeing on that
Did
one
you
anyway.
Sign up for Lake Placid,
I know.
Sarah?
But yeah.
I literally thought of you, Sarah, when I was here. I was like, you better sign up for Placid.
Lake Placid will go. I reckon that's going to be one of the next
what?
To go.
What? Okay, can you send me the link whatever?
Yeah, I will. Yes. I will. I'll send you the link. So the other controversy, though, is, which I still haven't found out, and I think they have to see mummy. Are they closing the races when it is at total capacity, men plus women, and not
equal slots?
Not equal.
So I did get some updates, and so their concession that one right now, and I understand this point, is that they're saying like, well, we can't play favorites. Like we can't say like, well,
you're
Sarah, I'm saying in terms of people who reach out after it closes, they're saying like, well, we can't say Sarah, we want you, but we don't want Sid. Like I made that right. Like, so they can't, so they're saying we can't play favorites.
Why can't they?
They're also saying they're not going to like in the near future.
Yeah, I was going to say they can do that because they've done that for like,
they can't make it their policy. Okay. Yeah. They're not going to change anything in the near future. Definitely, definitely a possibility in the like, medium term future that they implement a system where like you put your name on and then they just give it to the top 50 people, you know what I mean, like so it's not like this scramble, but they'd have to like figure that out. So in the meantime, they've like their concession is like, well, we'll tell you when a race is close to filling up, but by tell you, you have to go to this website and like find it. And they're also saying
give you, if they do it only on a ranking on the top 50, is that like T100 that creates circuit because you can't get points from other races to
that's
get
why
into
like
that
to be totally fair, like that's just like they are will like that's like not going to happen soon. They're just like they recognize that like there's probably a world try style system where like you put your name down and then it rolls out. They also they're also like, oh well, this hasn't really been a problem yet, and you're like, well clearly it's going to become a bigger one now. Like
now that we all know, I feel like what you were really saying is they are like, we're not playing favorites. Wink, wink.
No, I think they actually are like, we can't have that as our policy, which I get. They're also, I know like I've heard a lot of rumblings from pros too that are like, well, some of these people aren't even legit. Why are they taking a spot? Like they're not legitimate pros. But like Ironman also totally fairly is not in the business of deciding who's legitimate. Like they have to trust the national governing bodies. That's up to the national governing bodies. Yeah. Like that's
respect that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, if that is what there was actually happening, like credit to them.
Yeah.
But you know, I get, apparently there has just been like a massive influx in American men taking their elite light. Like there's just a huge number of less fast.
Okay, so we will have a caveat. If anybody who is, you know, a member of this podcast, who wants to get into any pro races, we should be exempt from that rule. But other than that, it's an awesome rule.
So the point is, they did just close St. George 70.3, and that's still a month away. So I think that's going to be a problem in the next week or two when people go to sign up. Chattanooga is impacted, so you know, get on that because it's currently orange and it could go red. And then, basically, if you're a pro, you should probably just sign up for all the races that you want to go for,
and then just close the start list anyway. Yeah. But anyway, who's going to win Oceanside then? Out of those people who could enter,
that could enter,
did get a start list.
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm thinking about it. As I said that, I was like Paula, maybe Paula.
No,
oh, Taylor's racing. I forgot Taylor is racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Probably Taylor.
She's got a new bike position as well.
Okay.
She just had been fitted on a TT bike, so I think she might destroy everybody.
Here's my other, if Taylor does well enough, will she decide she doesn't need to do Yokohama, and then Katie can get a start? Or see, this is the whole...
So Taylor's racing to validate. Yes. But... Yeah, end of year.
70.3 worlds. When is Yokohama?
It's been like a month, but yeah, okay. That's the whole.
See, Taylor's all... a racer. She does racer. Whatever she wants to
she
do. Does
whatever she's yeah. gonna, she's gonna decide.
She's gonna do
however
Yokohama.
She feels.
She'll do it.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that's the only way that whole that start list drama works itself out.
So. Yeah. Who else? Who on the men's side? Not that we're that.
I couldn't remember who had started, who was racing on the men's side until I saw like Instagram posts. That's how I know. Because there were too many people on the list for me to read the whole list.
Yeah, a lot of men. I mean, I think like Lionel's racing, Sam Long.
Jackson obviously has won there before. I mean, there's people who have won there before. So it's like.
Yeah. Like Jeans, though, he's probably one to watch coming up from ITU. He's always done pretty well over there. When he's moved it to half.
I could see that. I could see him winning. So
yeah.
All right, Sarah, did we answer all of your questions? Do you feel...
No, who do I email?
I will send you the link.
Paula, you always email Paula. But,
no, yeah. It's not. It's
I'm kidding,
pro,
I'm kidding.
It's pro one. It's Jennifer.
The pro, yeah, the registration. We will get you registered,
through the
Sarah.
Long process of paying all entry fees and blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
we will get Sarah registered for races. That is
it's
the goal.
Very formalized these days. There's no pleasantries about the email communications.
All right, we're going to take another ad break and then we will stop talking about triathlon.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again, and I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year, and I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like... definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the Try Hard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20 feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. All right, I know Jocelyn knows what I'm talking about, but there was this drama on Instagram of this like 12-year-old girl who ran a 258 marathon. She's out here in California. And I'm very split because part of me is like, cool, like whatever, right? Like you do you. But then obviously 12-year-olds like aren't really making their own decisions. Like
quite young.
Right. But people like went nuts in the comments. Like I thought people were supporting or against it.
Well, for the post that's the reel that was posted on the Feisty Instagram, there was a lot of she shouldn't be doing that.
And yes. I thought it'd be mixed, right? Like, you know, like I see the pros, I see the cons. Not my kid. I'm not going to like judge other people's kids. But people were just like, she shouldn't. End of discussion.
Yeah. Her name's Evan Kim and she's Korean American. So as like an Asian American, I'm like, half of me is like, this is awesome. See, Asian Americans can be like amazing athletes, fast runners, et cetera, et cetera. But the other half of me is like, okay, then you look at her dad's Instagram account, which is, it's All Heart like running club or whatever. So he's coaching his three kids. There's an older sister and older brother who I am going to pull this up.
They also both run. I would say they're not as like they run.
They also both run marathons.
But they're like 17, which is a little 17 and 16, which I know is
also. The older brother ran a 257. He's 17 and the older sister is 16 and ran a 329.
I know. Sarah's making like a head shake. Anyway. I don't have kids and I often will say, look, I don't like, I'm not going to like you raise your kid however you're going to raise your kid as long. Like, I don't know. Right. But the amount of people who are very upset, like not through me, just was sort of.
I think part of it was also like the dad is like, oh yeah. Next we're aiming for the Olympic trials in 4 years,
which is age 16, which is quite a young to make again marathon.
But also, do you guys remember Alana Hadley, who was like a teenage marathoner? So she qualified for the Olympic trials when she was like 18 or 19, and she wasn't even old enough because there was at the time, I don't know if there still is, I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it, but you had to be like 20 years old on the day of the Olympic trials marathon to run. So there was this whole thing about how let Alana run. And then newsflash, she's not running at all anymore.
Sure. I mean, part of me is like, that's probably true. Like, do I think it's necessarily like the most emotionally healthy thing? Like, no, but I have lots of questions like that about lots of people. And I don't go around telling them what to do. You know, like there are lots of emotionally unhealthy people in triathlon. I'm not going to fix them all. Like, you see, that's kind of where I'm at.
Right. It depends, right? Like, and I think it all depends on, is it intrinsic motivation or extrinsic motivation? Because you are going to get those kids who are just wired a little differently, who are like, this is my jam. Like, I want to go out for these long rides or runs or whatever. And the parents are like, I have no idea where this comes from, but sure, go for it. Like, there is going to be a small percentage, tiny percentage of these like super young endurance athletes who fit that. There's no external pressure. This is all something that comes from within them.
So if the whole family runs, dad is a run coach. Right. And they said the reason she's so much faster at 12 years old is because she started running when she was 6.
So that is just super messy because you're 12. You don't know. You started at 6. You don't know if you actually want to be doing that. Like, this is it's too messy. And then, like, getting parental approval and like family culture. Okay, there's one thing having family culture where you all run, but getting forced or feeling like you need to do marathon instead of age appropriate distances.
That's my thing, I think. Like, I'm all for if that's the family way of life. And again, I don't have kids and can't comment, but from the outside perspective, a marathon does seem a long way.
All the little boys that play baseball because their dads were burnt out baseball players. And they're like afraid to say like, dad, I actually really hate baseball.
Sure. But that's probably true of like half the things all kids do, right? Yeah. I mean, you want to talk, like, we were just talking NIL a little bit and how, like, college sports
especially,
have gotten super
I would
messy.
Say especially America, because it's sure. a very, your kids go to summer camps, your kids do sports, your kid, like, I don't think that's as, to the same extent in other countries.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. I'm not gonna venture into idea. I have no idea. But I want to say, like, what Sarah was just saying that's super messy is true across all things, right? This is just like an example that has gotten attention and she's good. But there are kids who are, you're not sure. Like, I was reading, oh my God, I went down a hole about the kids who grew up with influencer parents, like who were like making money on, and that fucking like seeps into your life too. And you right? So like all these things, like there are a million different ways you can like screw up your kid. I'm not even sure this is like in the top third, like running marathons, you know?
Yeah, I just cut, like, come back from a sports development perspective.
Yeah, it's not and, like the screwing up sports, the kid bit for me. It's just
sports development wise, like, you want to make sure that the kid loves it. They're having fun. They're having fun. They're learning some skills, maybe developing some speed early on. And then, like, way down the road, you're thinking about building endurance.
Sure.
So, like, you're putting the cart way before the horse, just in pure like development standpoint.
Yeah, I'm a bit like,
yeah, which is why this
be amazing at be amazing at 10K. I don't know that even that
12.
Might be too long. That might be too long.
1500.
Yeah. 1500.
Yeah. No, honestly,
fine. Yeah,
you want to be a professional marathon when you're 25 at 12, 1500 most.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I just know how much, like, from doing a marathon at the I know different at the end of the Ironman, but like it is brutal on the body. And if like as a 12-year-old you're still growing, you're still developing.
Yeah.
That's
it makes me think about case. Like all the gymnasts that have stunted growth.
Sure. There's also like, but then I went down this hole too of like apparently like to talk about other like apparently kids in other countries. Sometimes, like some of them are running lots by the time they're 10 or 12, because that's just like
how they get to school,
mode of transportation.
Yeah.
So it's also like, and I'm not saying that's better. I'm not saying that's like good. I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe we're being very American about it.
Yeah. Maybe we're very, and maybe that, just to be controversial, I'm not sure I agree, but maybe it's just,
nice. Just say things you don't agree with. That's
maybe
what we're about.
Maybe we're just stereotypically in health performance that it is that you do a marathon when you're in
when
your
you're
mid-20s
older.
At the earliest.
I mean,
and
there
maybe
was also
actually, like, you know, women couldn't run marathons because their uterus would fall out. There, maybe we're just
but there
stuck,
was
you know,
that young girl, older teenager that did that Ironman recently, right? Who was, I don't know, 15 or 16?
Dumbling, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that. Oh yeah, but it wasn't not an actual Ironman because Ironman has an 18 year.
Oh, a non-Ironman branded iron distance race.
Sure, sure.
And I believe she was Indian American. So my first reaction was like, good for her parents being so supportive of her wanting to do this.
Do you think, Jocelyn, do you think the Tiger Moms just discovered sports finally? Is that what happened here? Like they all moved over from piano? Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly. I also though just found out, okay, so here's my other thing with kids, since you guys you guys babysat when you were kids, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, I was babysitting like probably by like 12 or something. Apparently now, if you like survey adults in the US, people don't think 12-year-olds are old enough to even be left home by themselves. They're certainly not babysitting. And then like basically kids don't babysit anymore. Because they're overbooked, they have like lots of other extracurriculars. Like we don't trust, and apparently we don't think 12-year-olds can like. And so then they're also not developing those, like, you know, like that was like that kind of like where you learned how to be an adult, like you practice
be responsible. How many of us read The Babysitter's Club? all hands.
So I'm very like I mean it's definitely a thing, but I didn't realize. Yeah, kids are screwed.
I had babysitters, but I never babysat myself.
Oh, really?
It may be town by town also, because I don't know. Like, we're all maybe just within my family. My niece definitely babysat for us when she was 12.
Yeah, I think, like, in the family still. But I think, like, you know, you're not, like, the this is like statistically true in the US, so I'm not, obviously I'm sure it varies town by town, but the whole like, you know, you would just like do your neighbor down the street or like your mom's friend's kid, or you know what I mean, like that kind of thing. Apparently that just doesn't really happen anymore.
Kids these days. No work ethic.
Except for the world.
And now that social media influences.
I have a kid and I'm like, I really should find a reliable babysitter, but I can't imagine having a 12-year-old watch my 3-year-old.
See, it's also on the parent, right? It's everybody's perceptions have totally changed. Our feelings about things have changed. We like,
Kids used to can ride their bikes to school. Now they get driven a mile down the road because their parents can't. But, you know, maybe that's an American
thing.
Oh,
no. School drop-off is fucking nuts these days here. Yeah.
I do wonder whether, I mean, this is a whole other discussion. As family size shrinks and there are more and more kids who are singletons, there isn't the culture of taking care of other kids built in. So, like, thinking of my niece, she's the oldest of 4 kids. Of course, I'm going to trust her being around little kids.
Sure.
But most of the families, like the kids that we know, you know, they're single kids.
Yeah.
Maybe there are 2 kids in the family. So, like, just that understanding of family system, I think, has shifted generationally. It
totally shifted. The other side effect I was reading, like, with your point of, like, there's families are smaller. You have fewer cousins now. The network, family networks are smaller now too. And so like you have less of that like wide extended, like my cousin's friend, that whole thing. It's much smaller, much more condensed.
I'm still going back to kids just have no work ethic.
I think it's actually the parents.
They're just lazy. No, these kids are lazy these days.
Is your kid
want to be on like TikTok and stuff? Oh, yeah.
Influencers. Totally.
They want to be influencers. Yeah. They want to be YouTubers.
I actually think, guys.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
I love kids.
I mean, you're like studying that. So.
Yeah.
I think there's actually like, I think people our age and older have a tendency to really underplay some of the shit that like kids have to deal with. Like, I actually think like tech and the shift in like how we view them and like parental is actually like really rough. Side point.
Yeah.
I will say kids are way more resilient than we give them credit for. They go through a lot of stress. And they are tough. They're tough. Yeah.
I was watching that basketball and I was like, this is an 18-year-old.
I'm
like, God damn
it. Yeah. Yeah, getting the abuse that they're managing. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Sarah, you've been gone. Do you have any questions stored up? Do you have any weird
random
questions stored up for us?
Oh, shoot. A million and none. I didn't actually prepare one or think of one today.
Oh,
so if somebody has one.
Now I'm like, well, what sport do you wish you had done as a kid?
As a 12-year-old. Let's be super specific. So
ice
sixth
hockey?
Grade.
Okay. Ice hockey.
Interesting.
I played pond hockey, but like, I really wish I lived in a town that had a rink and girls hockey.
Oh, they didn't. Yeah. Pond hockey, side point, is like, I played this summer as a kid, and it's hard to explain to people who
I have
not.
Is pond hockey just ice hockey, but on a small pond, not a full size rink?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just play with like the neighborhood kids, mostly it's boys, and you get really beat up and it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, side point then, isn't that interesting that going back to the basketball, Caitlin Clark just played, like there was no delineation as a kid growing up. She played with the boys and look at how good she is. Like, but do we segregate early, too early in girls and boys? Whereas if you actually just start everyone together, keep everyone together from that early age,
I think a lot of youth sports are together. I don't know. I mean, obviously, that's a mass generalization, but usually they put boys and girls together through like 12 at least, or 10 or 12. It depends. Like, at least, I mean, I watched the swim team while I'm swimming. And I think when I played boys soccer till I was like 7 or 8. But that was.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not boy. Like, it was co-ed. I was just the only girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I kind of wish I played soccer as a 12-year-old.
I love soccer. It was so fun.
Did not get into soccer or anything, but I have really big feet and I feel like I could have been good.
So what sport do you wish you had played soccer?
Yeah.
I really wanted to be, not really because I didn't do it, but a gymnast. I played every sport you could possibly play as a kid. And I briefly, my parents signed me up for gymnastics classes. And I got up to a one-handed cartwheel. I was very proud of myself.
Yeah.
Sid, what did you want to play?
I don't know. I played everything. I was quite happy playing everything. I did track and netball and stuff. But I mean, maybe I would have liked to played, I'm going to say football, soccer, or basketball, but it wasn't the option. So and it's not what I knew. So we were still very much like girls' sports.
Oh. Yeah.
It would have been nice to play a sport that had more potential money earnings financially further down the line. But again, sport wasn't a career. It was hobby. It's what you did to, yeah.
Okay. So question. About 2 hours ago, Ben was teaching our not quite 3-year-olds how to do a track start, like in the blocks as a sprinter.
Oh.
Is that too young?
As long as it's kept fun.
I'm sorry.
If it's fun and it's played as a game, it's okay. I'm guessing you didn't make them run then the full 100 meters or whatever.
No, it was just on the
carpet. There we go. Yeah.
I was going to say, Sarah, was his motivation intrinsic?
Or was he just trying to please his dad?
Great question. I think it was absolutely play in the moment, but I'll get back to you in like 10, 15 years tell you how scarring of an experience. All right. Well, thank you for joining us again, Sid. Always lovely to have you back. Tune in next week and we'll have Khadijah back with us. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.